And so there's a balance where you have to realize that you are a uniquely fashioned vessel, and the Lord will flow through you and give you things that he can't give anybody else.
Once again, Kingdom Corner followers and worshipers. Notice that I said worshipers, my friends, because you're back again for another episode, part two of Living a Life of Worship with the magnanimous and awesome Chris Walters that we started last time we were together. Oh, she's such a well and fount of wisdom. If you haven't already heard that podcast, you need to go back and listen to part one, because we're going to start to dig even deeper into this subject of worship. We're going to go through a book that we both read, Chris and I, by Jeremy Riddle called The Reset. Be a good book for you to get. It just goes hand in hand with what we're talking about. And you know, the last time, I just have to highlight from the last time, I was so excited. This has been reverberating through my heart and my mind. The last episode we were together, the words that Chris shared, I kept going through these things in my mind and heart. And that is, when we're talking about worship, when we're talking about the importance of worship, we're talking about you cultivating and developing an audience of one with Abba, with the Creator. He's made you for that. Even as Adam, as she talked about Adam, and we see in Genesis, he walked in the cool of the day, and Abba would meet him all the time. That was a regular thing. You need to do that. And then also the other backdrop of that is it's important as a worshiper, and we're all worshipers, whether you're a worship facilitator like Chris, you're a teacher, or you have the gift of helps where in your church you just help setting up like picnics and meetings and those kind of things for the rest of the people. You are a worshiper. You need to find your place, whatever your gifts are, in the community of God. That's what you need to do as a worshiper. Have you found your place? Those are the things that I got last time, among so many other things. That will be an episode that I will listen to again and again. So I'm so excited. We're going back into part two of Living a Life of Worship. Oh, I'm excited. Be blessed, my friend. Take plenty of notes. Ask plenty of questions and write them down. Thank you.
Wow. So I would start with relationship to get anywhere in worship. Where is your relationship?
Yes, that's good.
The other thing that the church doesn't, that Jeremy hit on, I believe, in his own way without going back and looking at it, but I told a friend a couple of years ago, because the church we went to back in the 80s, talked about dying to self all the time. I mean, I was in the music ministry there.
Right.
And our worship leader went so far as to say, if you get up, if you do something, you cut up and sing a song or lead a song, and if you feel good about it after you sit down, that's sin. In other words, he was trying to say, you're not dead enough. And there's something to that. I think it's a bit extreme. But I will say this, many times when I do home groups, I often kind of silently hope that no one will come to me and gush over anything that I did. I appreciate kind words. I appreciate encouragement. I appreciate appreciation. But I don't want, I don't know, I think there's a point where it's too much. And I can't tell you what that is. I know for me, I do better. I need some feedback. I need some encouragement. But I don't need a constant kind of, am I good? Am I doing this right? I mean, if you're in that place, you're either you got to be called. You got to be called and you got to be anointed for what you're doing. Those are the Amen. Two big things. So when someone is insecure like that and they're questioning themselves, I'd probably in my heart feel like, oh, wow, are you called and are you anointed? Because if you are, that should really be all you need.
I agree. That's
I know that sounds a little harsh. And it's not, and again, we have to balance it. I think whenever I go somewhere, I always compliment the people at the home group that lead worship. I do. I always try to give them some kind of feedback and to encourage them and keep them going. It's not my place to decide if they're called or anointed.
No.
That's their business before God. My job is when they lead worship, I am to go to my audience of one and focus on him as much Amen. As possible and worship in spite, not because, worship in spite of what I may or may not like.
I think what you said about this is really good. I like also to bring in the balance part. It's like if we go to a meeting, and I've been to some of yours, and we hear you minister and worship and share your songs, and people come up to you to say how well they appreciated, how beautiful it was. And I've never seen you do this, but I have seen a few people do this, whether it was singing or preaching. Oh, that's all God. That's all God. It wasn't me at all. I don't like that either. So
I agree. Someone complimented me. It was the first home group that I did. My high school youth leader was there. And she got up and, we're talking 45 years ago.
Right.
And she's like, she just honored me with so many of our group. They're not walking with the Lord. And Chris has persevered and Chris has run the race. And I got up and kind of, unfortunately, I said, oh, it's all God. It's all God. Because I felt like, there but the grace of God go I. I mean, all sinners. I could not at that moment embrace the fact that, yes, I did do that by the grace of God. So it was a partnership. And that's the way that I should have presented it. I'm just thankful that the Lord, that I've been able to go to him and fall on him and keep him in my life in spite of anything harsh and hard that happened to me.
Amen.
He's been my rock. He's been my constant.
Amen.
And I've clung to the rock. And so I do regret that. I do regret doing that. But I don't say it's all the Lord, just like I don't say the Lord gave me that song.
No, I don't
say that either. Those are such absolute statements. God moves through his vessels. He doesn't want to come in and take over our bodies and do something that's 100% him. He wants to flow through us using our personalities and our knowledge. We're different vessels. If he did what I described earlier, then we'd all be the same. We'd all have nothing unique and different to bring. All the songs would sound the same.
Exactly.
And so there's a balance where you have to realize that you are a uniquely fashioned vessel, and the Lord will flow through you and give you things that he can't give anybody else.
Amen.
Because they're not you.
So good. Amen. Wow.
But on that death to self conversation, really, I really want to be, I pray, I always, we have an ego, and the ego wants to rise up every chance it gets. And people would be lying if they said they didn't have an ego that has to be tempered.
Yes.
And so many times I pray to God and say, keep me humble. And other things that I do that help me because I was pretty well known in that church years ago, and people still associate me. I had recordings and worked in the recording studio. I was up front. I had people, a lot of people knew my name, and they still know my name 45 years later, and they associate that with me. And the best thing that I can do with that name and that knowledge and recognition is to honor other people and to encourage them. And so when I go to home groups, that's why I want to encourage other people. Other musicians, you know, it's a hoot. I mean, it's actually really fun to encourage other people.
Yeah.
I had one person come up to me in church recently, and he's known me for years. And I led worship that day, and he came up, and he also plays an instrument and leads worship. And he said, he came up and rubbed shoulders with me, and he goes, he did this kind of thing. Like, can I get some of that? You know, can I get some of that? And it's really sweet because I can completely encourage him and say, what you bring to the table is important. It's unique. And you're the only one who can bring that. And so step into it and be yourself. And I had another friend that has struggled finding a place. He's not going to be out front and center. That's not his calling. He's good for support and backup, but he does write songs. And so his songs haven't been highly accepted in a lot of different places. Some places he has, but when his last situation fell apart, I would talk to him and say, look, you just haven't found your tribe.
Yeah.
Just because it didn't work out at that place doesn't mean you're a failure and there's no place for you. You have to find your tribe. Now, that was maybe 3-4 years ago. And today, this guy is regularly singing his songs in a congregation. He goes to sometimes 3 or 4 groups a week, and they appreciate him. He goes to groups where people appreciate who he is and what he brings.
Good.
And so for him, it was a matter, and he'll often remind me, yeah, you just told me to find my tribe. That's right. Find your people. I believe God works in, he can work profoundly in smaller groups.
Yes.
My big word for that, the reason that I think that is successful, is because of accountability.
Oh.
You walk in.
That's not a dirty word.
There's Matt. No. No. There's Matt. Oh, Matt, we're so glad you're here this week. And then Matt doesn't show up. Matt misses a week. Oh, then he misses two. He's getting phone calls now. He's getting people reaching out to him. We miss you. Where are you, brother? And so you have accountability to each other in a smaller group.
Yes.
You know who's missing. And you know when someone's quiet in the group. Many times it'll be like, well, so-and-so, you're awfully quiet today. And then sometimes they gush open.
Yes.
And they're being burdened with something.
The body of Christ needs that.
Yes, everybody can rally around them and in support.
And we're not, I just want to emphasize, and I can tell your heart is this way. I had challenges at times with the word accountability from some of the churches I went to. It's not a top down, I'm your general or your sergeant, you submit to me or else.
Right.
We're not talking about that.
No, I'm not talking about that kind of accountability.
Accountability was a hard word for me for a few years.
Well, perhaps it had been abused in your mind
before.
You know?
I'm okay with it now. I couldn't
absolutely.
I'm sure you're the same way. We couldn't just be accountable to any group or any people.
Absolutely. That's right. And God doesn't expect us to be accountable to every other Christian.
No.
Really, when you think about the 12 tribes, and now this is just, it's just coming to mind. I've never, ever voiced this, but I'm thinking about 12 tribes. Well, it's all the Jews, Why does he divide them into 12 tribes? And, you know, think about it. I think authority and all of that works better in smaller groups because you can be accountable to each other.
Yes.
And a lot of people like big churches for their own reasons. I don't.
I don't anymore either.
I don't anymore either. Not unless I wanted to hide. If I wanted to be authentic and have a connection with other people, I'd have to go somewhere smaller. That's just me. That's just me. I always want to preface that because, you know, I don't have any judgments in my heart for people who do things differently than
me. No.
My big thing is you're accountable to God. You have complete freedom to live your life the way. Now, if I see you in sin and in error and I love you, I'm going to speak to that. But by and large, if we disagree on even some of these doctrinal things that people want to make a big deal about.
Yes.
I just don't think those are worthy of judging each other on.
No.
To the point of even questioning salvation.
Yes.
So.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's good. Wow. We've had a good conversation here. I didn't know where this was going to exactly go. And I think this will make good for maybe a couple podcast episodes.
Well, you go right ahead and dice and splice however you want. I do want to read that quote from Jeremy's book again then. Oh, I'm looking at a couple of his quotes and I'm realizing, oh boy, I just basically said the same thing a different way.
Well, it's interesting how this has worked out, because I wasn't sure whether we just kind of look at the book and then talk about it different parts. But I think what we've talked about has really flowed out of our hearts, but also we both have kind of read this book too. So,
yes. Well, I really appreciated this book, and I read, I only got to page.
Did you know of him before? You must have.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, he was at Bethel for a while.
Right.
I think in the spring I read chapters 1 through 3, so I didn't go back and read and highlight, but I did start highlighting in chapter 4. So I read this whole book and I was excited as I read. I'm not even convicted. I mean, my heart was just so one with what he was saying. I just was so excited.
And I don't, we've been talking here recently, but before that, I think I kind of knew a bit about you, and I thought, this book, I bet she'll really resonate with it, because I kind of know, and I think it has. So.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for sending it to me. I really appreciate it.
Good.
So here I am reading this book. I'm going to start at the end.
That's fine.
Because the book has 112 pages in it, and this is on 109.
And so
I'm nearly... at the end of the book, and I tend to speed read toward the end of the book,
right,
thinking, oh, you know, there's not much left. Am I ever glad I didn't do that?
So let me just interject, just for people that will listen. We're talking about The Reset, written by worship leader Jeremy Riddle, Returning to the Heart of Worship and a Life of Undivided Devotion, that I sent to Chris some months ago, and we both have read it. So,
yes. So I'm reading this book. I'm excited. I'm saying, yes, yes, yes. I'm there. And there's 112 pages in the book, and all way down on page 109, this was probably the biggest part of the book that resonated with me, because I'm 65 and my ministry that I had was in my 20s. I think back 40 years when I was 25, I was at the height of my ministry, writing songs, recording in the studio, leading worship in a big church, having name recognition. And I guess if you'd call that exciting. I mean, I had all that. And then life hit. The church split, broke up. I lost my job. And I went back to Iowa, where my roots were, and started to live out my life. And tried to fit into different churches over the years, tried to do different things. Nothing worked out, but something just kept burning in me. I could never, ever say, well, I'm done. Thank you, Lord, but no thanks. So here on page 109, he says in the middle of the first paragraph, I'm convinced there are mothers and fathers of worship who have allowed their voices to be silenced, quieted, and tamed, but that is ending. The Lord is restoring your spiritual authority in this hour. I also feel the Lord is calling those whose flame once burned bright and clear, but the pain of life, disappointment, personal failure, and misunderstanding have taken the wind out of your sails and led you into resignation. The Lord is awakening an old flame, and he will cause it to burn brighter in your latter years than it ever did in the zeal of your youth.
Wow.
When I read that, I thought, he wrote this book for me. So that was an encouragement. But let me go back. Just some of the things that we talked about, I'm like, I'm seeing them in the book, page 39. The bottom paragraph, chapter 4, becoming wholehearted requires a death. We resist. It requires a death. We resist dying, and a full surrender. We resist yielding. And that's where the death to self. When my worship leader back in the day, music director said, if you get up and feel good about your performance, that's a sin. And you can take that any way you want. But then some of the other things that I marked, I highlighted page 86. It's, chapter 8, a new wineskin. I said, this is Jeremy talking. I find myself dreaming of an atmosphere of worship so full of his glory that it transforms anyone coming into it. I see a people coming in with calloused and deadened hearts toward God, but leaving fully alive to him. I see a people coming in oppressed and harassed, but leaving fully liberated. A people coming in asleep to the call of God on their lives, but leaving to their divine destiny. A people coming in under the weight of depression and despair, but leaving in great joy and gladness. A people coming in bound by addiction and disease, but leaving them shackled and free. Wow. A people coming in afflicted by bodily pain and suffering, but leaving healed and restored. And then...
Yeah, I had that one highlighted as well.
Yes. Another thing, I have a lot of highlights, and then I'll put a yes or an asterisk or something. Page 74, Truth Matters, chapter 7, page 74, the second paragraph, the first full paragraph. Be someone who has so firmly placed yourself under the authority of Scripture that its authority begins to flow through you. And that is where we come back to what I said about being in the Word and developing relationship. Something that the bride isn't seeing in herself is that she has the full authority of Jesus, who had the full authority of his Father. And so how do you place yourself under the authority of Scripture? So that it can flow, that authority can flow through you, you have to spend time in the Scripture. You have to know the Scripture. That is the beginning of how you find relationship. That is the beginning of how you find out who you are in Him. And as worship facilitators, we need to go with that authority. That authority needs to flow through what we're doing.
Well, that's good, Chris. Wow.
So many good things in this book. And here's a quote on page 62. I'm just thumbing through. I didn't plan this ahead of time.
That's fine. I think
chapter
it's going
six,
good.
Born of the Spirit. He goes, I used to have all my worship sets meticulously mapped out. I knew where they started, where they ended, and everything in between. So that goes back to my point earlier when I was talking about the church I went through Sunday night. I mean, that leader had those sets meticulously mapped out, where they started, where they ended, and everything in between. And so my point was how it's not as easy to let the Holy Spirit lead. And he probably led them in their preparation. And that's what they do for their church. And so by all means, they get a high grade for doing that. But Jeremy is saying he wants something more. You know, that was all well and good, but he wants something more from the Holy Spirit.
I think that comes, you know, I lead, you're going to help us on Wednesday, lead a small group. And I hadn't done that for years and years, since the 90s. And I, believe me, I'm not the worship leader you are, believe me. But God did use me to lead some worship years ago,
right,
in a more organized church. And Kim, probably Kim.
Yes, yes.
And the thing about it is, I think those worship sets, they're okay at times, but you have to be willing to just throw it away. And that requires, like you are, and I think like I'm beginning to be, where you're spending time worshiping the Lord on your own, and maybe you have the piano, maybe I have my guitar, and we're just letting these songs fill our hearts.
Yes.
And they're becoming part of us. Do we need the list anymore? Well, maybe once in a while, but not really, because God, when we get in a group of people that are really hungry and really want to worship, it's like God can just tap us and the music begins to flow. You know, that's why.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that for me, I have a tablet and I have to practice songs. I have to put the songs in the tablet and figure out the keys, and then I can make sets. I still make sets wherever I go. So there isn't a certain, but I'm not married to my set.
No, but at the same token, I know you well enough, and you're probably more critical of it than me, where you want your music to be first rate. You're not just throwing something together in 5 minutes. You've spent time. You've done the technical things. But
yes, yeah,
you have to be, I think if God's going to, just like a teacher in the word, I teach the word, you have to put in that time.
Yes.
Before God can just tap on you to, I think you know what I'm saying, to flow.
I do. In fact, let me just go back to what I was saying about called and anointed. When I led a worship team some years back, I felt like it was my duty to find out if they were truly called and could be anointed if they were going to join the team. Today, I would make that three things, not just called and anointed, called, equipped, anointed. Because I really believe that that middle part is us. Called and anointed, that's God. But the middle part is us. We have to be equipped. And be technically to where God can anoint us.
Yes.
So you get the calling, you decide, am I going to follow this or not? And then what do I need to do to get myself ready for this? And then you make yourself available to be anointed.
Amen. That's good. That's really good.
It's very hard. When you're putting teams together, a lot of people, especially the older they are, they just kind of rely on, well, I did this and well, I did that, but they really haven't been doing much of anything. The calling, yeah, I mean, you have to know that you're called to be up there in front of people. That's a big responsibility.
Oh, yes.
Huge. Wow. So, you know, I just read this book, a month or two ago when I knew I was going to talk to you. I finished reading it. I read the first part last spring, and then I got away from it. So I've been out here in the Seattle area ministering. I knew it was going to be a limited time. I'm renting a room, and my home is really in Iowa. But what I've seen happen in the last 8 to 9 months is what I described earlier, where I go to a prayer meeting and I can worship, but we intersperse it with prayer and intercession. In fact, recently I loaded up my piano and we went to a business, a group of us, intercessors, a person worked there at the business, and we went into a conference room with the piano. I sat there and led worship, and they walked around and interceded for the company, and that the Spirit of God would have his way with that company. And, you know, there's people out there, out in this area, that do land and water assignments where they're claiming territory for the Lord. And I love that. And they recognize the value of worship with that. So I just did that recently. But look at this quote from Jeremy on page 103. It's chapter 10, The Future. In midway through the first paragraph, I feel the Lord leading us into a purifying alliance waiting to be made that will result in the worship movement being strengthened and propelled into a new season of fiery anointing and fresh creativity. Here's what I desire to see. I desire to see the worship movement marry the prayer movement and the missions movement.
Wow.
I firmly believe that if worship is re-anchored in ministry to the Lord and ministry to the world, it will explode with fresh life, creativity, and power. What he is saying there is you got to get it out of the church. Not get it out of the church, but you have to go beyond
the walls. Go beyond the four walls.
You have it, and he continues, a new alliance. The worship movement has never thrived in isolation.
Wow.
And so I remember at our old church, they would take the music ministry group and go down to different shopping centers and just sing to groups of people. And then they'd have people standing around who would minister or witness to people.
We used to go to the Folk Life Festival.
Yep. And so to me, that's grassroots. That reminds me of my early days as a Christian, where we did take our music out and go different places. And I see a returning to that. And Jeremy sees it too, obviously.
Exactly.
There's so much in the book that is mind-boggling and progressive. And we need that. We need that because I believe we're kind of stuck in a church model that doesn't really go very far beyond its own doors.
Nope.
So music could be very, pun intended, instrumental in breaking down those types of barriers.
Amen. Amen. I just have this one noted, and I see you as a forerunner like this. Can we provide a place for people to encounter the real, true, liberating, redeeming, healing presence of God? And I'm going to say, yes, we can.
Yes, we can. And we have to get beyond the music.
Oh, that's good.
You know, because we're not wanting people to have an experience with the music.
No.
We want the experience with God.
Ooh.
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
Yep. You know, and also another thing that I had noted here, it's a constant battle to stay out of the way as worship leaders.
Mm.
We need to stay That's one of my prayers. Lord, don't ever let me get in the way of what you want to do. I do want to sit here and I do want to be yielded to you. Yes, it's still Chris. It's still my style. It's still the way I would do it. But I need to get out of the way. There's a balance.
I think that's always you talked about it. We always have to be willing to die. I think anybody that's out in the forefront, even like ministering the word as well, but I see it maybe there's something about music. I don't know. I don't mean to pick on you, but I could pick on myself in music too. Because my mom was a choir director and I had degrees in music and brought us up with music since we were 3 or 4. I never had a problem from the time I was 4 getting up in front of people talking or singing. Where there's something about music, though, I don't know what it is that can really tempt you to get lifted up, kind of like Lucifer might have been. I remember one of the things that really brought me down to earth was when I was like 18, I was asked to sing at a couple's wedding in our church, and they didn't even really know me. And I sang, they were kind of more worldly songs. They weren't bad, but I wasn't really that thrilled with the songs. And do you know, I completely screwed them up. It was so embarrassing. I completely just screwed up the words, screwed up the music, and I'd even worked on them. But that was maybe one of the most humbling experiences I've ever had in being before the public, you know, presenting.
I have lots of my own horror stories that way, Matt. You know, I gave my heart to the Lord when I was 17. I was just a kid in so many ways, and prior to getting saved, there was a gal I was a sophomore and she was a junior, and there was a piano out in the hall down by the music room, and she'd go there in between classes or for a study hall and sit there and play songs that she had written. Now, they were secular. And I'd sit on the bench and I would just watch her play because I only read music. I didn't play. I didn't mess around on the piano. I just played music that I could read. And I would just watch her and be so enamored with what she was doing. I'd say, wow, I want to write songs. And I'd go home and I would try and I just couldn't figure out what I'd write about, didn't really know how to move around on the piano. And then I gave my heart to the Lord at the end of my junior year. She would have been a senior just graduating. And boom, I started writing. I mean, it was just instantaneous that was something I felt called to do. And all the songs at first were basically a lot of my feelings, how I felt about the Lord. But then as I got into the word, then things started happening. Lord impressed upon me not too long ago, and I've started doing this. I have this blank spiral notebook, and I get in there and I put passages of scripture. I write them out. Because it's more than just what I'm getting at is that I want to use scripture when I sing spontaneously worship. But I don't, having a Bible sitting open, and I know a lot of people do that, it's not going to work. But if I have a spiral notebook that lays flat, plus if I go through and I put the scriptures in my own writing, I've looked at them. I've taken those scriptures in. They've spoken to me. They mean something to me. And I did that, and the first time I tried it, I was shocked. When I was leading extemporaneously in the Spirit, I just opened to a page, and suddenly I had words that were edifying and scriptural. Now, I would love it if I could do that from my head.
Right.
But I'm not there.
Yeah.
And I don't think it really matters. If the word goes forth in truth and in music, that's what's most important. And the thing about music, you were talking about music being special, and we get a lot of attention if we're musicians. But here's the deal. Music, the lyrics last. You remember all the childhood songs that you sang.
Yep.
Any kind of counting heads, shoulders, knees, and toes. Music is a powerful medium for teaching.
Yeah.
And for remembering. And sermons, if you compare that to sermons, the words to sermons will fade quite easily. But music, it can last forever. And so that's why we need to treat it as a precious commodity and be sure that we put nothing but truth in there. Nothing
Amen.
That edifies, except that edifies. Scripture. That's why a lot of my songs are pulled largely from passages of scripture, because the Lord said it best. And it's actually, as a songwriter, it's really exciting. I wrote this song, Be Strong.
Yes. I think and I've heard that.
Yeah. I did put it on my YouTube channel. I wrote it on the ukulele. It's a ukulele song. It's up tempo, but it's all 100% of it is scripture. Like Joshua 1:9, Joshua 1:5. Right. There's a Deuteronomy in there. And then there's the words of Jesus. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. I mean, I can recite, and I think I did it almost word for word. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Oh, I can't think of the song right now, but if I had to, I'd be able to say that scripture because I could sing it.
Right.
And so we need to treat music with great respect for the medium that it is, for getting something into people that can stay with them and minister to them long after we quit singing.
Wow. So that's good. It's maybe we should try and wrap this up and land this plane.
Unless you
have a lot more on your heart.
No, that's it. Those are my key points.
Because I love spending time with you talking. Is there anything you'd want to leave people with kind of as a crescendo, an ending?
Well, I just opened Jeremy's book again, page 72. The more you feast on him, the more it gushes out of you. So I'm just going to take the words of Jeremy Riddle to wrap this up. The more we feast on him, and that's the relationship that I started talking about. In his word, time with him, prayer, asking him to speak to your heart. The more we do that, the more worship gushes out of us.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you very much. Is there, can I impose upon you to pray for those that listen today, tomorrow, and in the future?
Yes. Lord, we come to you so grateful for your truth, God, the truth of your word. And we're so grateful that you are first and foremost a God of love, and that is the kind of relationship that we can have with you and with your body, our fellow Christians. Lord, I pray for everyone listening to this podcast that they would find their tribe and that they would be able to go deeper into the things that you want for them, Lord. Everyone has a calling. Everyone has a gift. That's who you are. You're a generous God, and you've gifted us with many things. Lord, I pray that each person listening would find their gift and would be able to step into it. Lord, that they would find a deeper place with you, a place of true intimacy into you, I see, Lord, that we would, they would be poured out, Jesus. Their lives would be poured out. We can have our regular day-to-day life, but we can have so much more in you as we go about those things. Lord, that everything we do would be unto you, God. I thank you for the calling on each person's life. Lord, they know what that is. I pray that you would equip them and anoint them in whatever that endeavor is. Lord, speak it loud, speak it clear to their hearts, Jesus. We thank you. We thank you for the wonderful God you are. We praise you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow. Wow. All I can say after those two episodes from the magnanimous Chris Walters is, wow. Wasn't that such awesome information, such awesome sharing of wisdom, like ladling into a deep well and bringing up fresh, cool water of life? Wasn't that what we experienced these last 2 weeks? I know I did. I found these last two episodes with Chris Walters to be such a powerful and transformational experience. That's what I found. I hope you found the same thing. Hope that was the case for you. You know, I believe this was a clarion call to worshipers in the body of Christ, to those that are called to the bride of Christ in this hour. For such a time as this, God is calling the body of Christ in special ways. And this is one of those defining moments, if I might say that. Not because Chris is anybody, she wouldn't want to be thought, you know, she is a woman of God or myself, but because God is flowing in this time to call people in a special way. We've often heard that all good things must come to an end, and yet with the kingdom of God, we can be assured today that the goodness of God never ends. In fact, it's expanding and growing. We know, according to Luke 17:21, the kingdom of God resides in us, inside of us, because of Jesus. Christ in us, the hope of glory. God is in each of us, and God's desire, as Chris so aptly shared these last 2 weeks, is to flow more and more out of each of us as his favored sons and daughters. What Chris Walters shared in the last two episodes are like golden building blocks to build his kingdom in each of us as individuals, but also collectively as the body of Christ. So we can see communities and cities transformed in God. Please go back and note these podcasts, note these episodes, and listen again and again. Oh, I just have to remind you, the preacher, the teacher in me has to remind you. Here are some of the highlights that just so spoke to my heart. Worship begins with your personal relationship with Abba. That's number one. Number two, as worshipers, whether we're a worship facilitator up front, whether we're a teacher or a preacher, whether we're in the helps ministry, just helping set up meetings and you know, food drives and things like that, or whether you're an intercessor in the back of the church that few know about, we partner together with God. It is us and Him together. That is our form of worship, you know, living a life of worship. It isn't just being a worship facilitator. It's all aspects of our lives and the gifts that God has given us that we're called to use. Worship is about honoring others above ourselves. Hallelujah. Worship is about having loving accountability in relationship with others. And then one that I loved, because I'm a senior citizen and so is Chris, God may be calling you back, like Chris and myself, to something that he put in your heart and birthed in your heart years ago. You may be that Joshua and Caleb to lead the body of Christ in different areas in these last days. Another point, true worship must flow through the authority of scriptures. True worship will flow through the authority of scriptures. Worshipers are to be called, equipped, and anointed. How are you doing with that? Do you have his calling? Have you been equipped? Are you anointed? Hallelujah. Worship thrives in and through relationship, not isolation. Worship thrives through relationship, not isolation. Worship through the vehicle of music has staying power. You know, we have hymns from hundreds of years ago, right? That we still sing today. The more you feast on Him in relationship, worship, the Word, seeking Him, asking Him to speak to you, the more worship gushes out of you. Because those things I just said are what makes up worship. And these are all things we talked about in the podcast, especially today, because we read Jeremy Riddle's book, the Reset, Jeremy Riddle's book, The Reset. And now, like I always do, some questions for you. Worship is blank between us and God. Worship is blank. I'll give you the first letter, P. Worship is P between us and God. You fill that in. Or worship is A, P between us and God. Number two, how does worship help us become accountable to others in the body of Christ? I want you to write about that. What are your thoughts on that? How does worship help us become accountable to others in the body of Christ? Number three, why is worship such a good vehicle to use along with Scripture? Like when we're singing worship music, when we're worshiping the Lord. Why is worship such a good vehicle to use with Scripture? You can write on that your thoughts. Extra credit. The ingredients of a worshiper are first blank C, second blank E, third blank A. The ingredients of a good or true worshiper are to be C in C, in E, and in A. Those are the ingredients that make up true worship. Let's give you the contact information for the wonderful, magnanimous, just wonderful woman of God, Chris Walters. Contact information. Chris has been called by God to share her music and connect with the body of Christ as a worship facilitator. This will involve travel as well as development of her songs through music production in a studio. As you pray about it and feel impressed of God, consider giving to her ministry through the following. Here's a Venmo app. Venmo at Chris, C-H-R-I-S, / Walters, W-A-L-T-E-R-S, / 128 Venmo. At C-H-R-I-S, / Walters, W-A-L-T-E-R-S, / 128 Venmo. That's probably the best way to give. You can also give at GoFundMe. At GoFundMe, I have GoFund.me/64344A, GoFundMe/me/64344A. There is like a surcharge to give there, so Venmo, if you could, would be the best way to give. Chris wanted me to give you her email. Contact Chris Walters at thechrislist@outlook.com. thechrislist@outlook.com. The Chris, C-H-R-I-S-L-I-S-T, all one word, thechrislist@outlook.com. Oh, be blessed, my friends. It's been so exciting. The preacher, teacher in me wants to read a scripture that I just think goes along so well with the past 2 weeks that we've been so richly blessed in. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, his divine power has granted unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him, hallelujah, who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, here are the building blocks, amen, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, accountability, right? And brotherly affection with love, that's honor, right? For if these qualities are yours, and are increasing. Remember, the kingdom of God is growing and expanding. All good things are growing in God. They're not going away. They're not ending. If they are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful. That's what we were talking about these past 2 weeks in living a life of worship with the awesome Chris Walters, is being fruitful, having the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're fruitful in him. It exudes out of us as we practice worship. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted, and he's blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. You can come back today to him, be cleansed of your sin, and get back on the worship train with Chris and I. Hallelujah. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be all the more diligent. In other words, striving in the Spirit to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these things, these qualities, you will never fall. Now listen to this. For in this way, there will be richly provided to you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Be blessed, my friends. I love you so much. Come back and listen to these episodes again and again. Prayerfully consider giving to Chris Walter's ministry. God is going to use her in these last days as a worship facilitator and minstrel throughout this country. Amen. Hallelujah.
I belong.